tonight for his mercies to us. Pray that the Lord will bless us here tonight. Help us with some solemnity. Thinking of us, sometimes we go buy things, and there's a saying that's something like this, that the some people go and buy something and they're concerned mainly about the price of the thing that they're buying, and they want to make sure they don't pay too much, and they'll be willing to let down a little bit on their standards of what they're expecting so that they get a lower price, pay a lower price for it. And there's a saying that goes something like this, that the quality of the item is there long after the price is forgotten. Quality of the item is there a long time after the price is forgotten about. Amen. There's another saying that's like this about buying things, and it's that you get what you pay for. Something like that. You go out and you want to buy something, and usually, I'll say many times, you can't get something for nothing. There's a saying like that. But if you want something, and if it comes up in a certain price range, you can expect to pay in that price range. And if you come up with something that's a whole lot less expensive than that, then later on you might find out that you didn't get what you thought you were getting. You'd usually be very much disappointed. Let's turn over here to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, 25th verse. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Read down through the 33rd verse. You know about people that are getting ready to build a house. They have in their mind, before they start usually, a certain plan, a certain thing they want to build. And then also, generally speaking, they arrange for some means of financing that house so that they feel reasonably assured that they can finish it. They make sure they have sufficient funds on hand, or access to those funds, generally speaking, to make sure that they can completely finish what they started. They don't want to start off building something And then when they get about 80% through, they're out of money and unable to go any further. And the whole thing just kind of comes to a halt until such time as the more money comes in. But they make sure first that they have what it takes to finish the whole job. Otherwise, they usually don't start. They rather wait and then start when they have the funds or the arrangements to get those funds to finish. So it is with our salvation. It's good, and I'd never fault someone for them taking time to count up the cost of getting salvation. They stop and think about it. I appreciate that. The soul that, when you speak to them, they say, well, I'm considering it, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm looking to the Lord to help me and make that move. You can't fault that, really. We realize there is an element of danger there that they might delay too long before making the move. But it's good for them to count up the cost. Rather than start off building something and then later on find out they can't finish it. Here in this reading that we start out here reading, we understand that he says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That indicates that an individual needs to be willing to give up, turn away from, whatever he may have that would tend to hinder his coming to the Lord. I want to turn over here now and read some in Philippians, the third chapter. And we'll start here at the third verse, read down a ways. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he had no doubt some reason to trust in the flesh. And now he's going to recite some of that. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Here it shows that you might say he has impeccable credentials as far as being a Pharisee, as far as being a Jew, a Hebrew goes. This man, you're speaking with one that, so to speak, knows the ground that he stands on. And in his background, no doubt, he would have reason by just thinking about his inheritance and thinking about his foreparents and thinking about his training and his upbringing. He could think that, well, he has such a background that people should be able to look up to him and respect him and hold him in high esteem. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, all the things that he could use to build himself up, if someone were to boast, he could boast likewise. You might say compete in boasting. He could lay out his credentials. They could lay out theirs. And you certainly couldn't fault what he had to offer. He says here, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, all of his background that he had, that thing whereof he commanded respect among the Jewish nation, that thing whereof they were willing to grant him authority to go and persecute the church from the high priest, so to speak, that thing he is now willing to say, I count that thing as a loss. I don't value that. I don't place any value on it. I'm not holding it high. And I don't think of myself as being someone great because of what I was in the past. He says, yea, and doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You know, that means something. For one, it was a learned individual. For him to be willing to count all things for loss, that he might be able to attain to the most excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. That means something. He was willing to count all of those things but loss. We think back about Paul's conversion there as he was going down to continue the persecution of the saints. He was struck down, you might say, as it were, struck blind there at midday. And there was something that stood in his life right there. I believe it was Jesus Christ that arrested him and told him, "Saul, Saul, why do you want to kick against the pricks? It's time to stop kicking against this thing." You know, I believe at that time Saul was pricked in his heart and he was convicted of what he was doing. The Lord opened up his eyes to that, and he was willing to count all of his past life as nothing and to join that band of people that he was persecuting. He counted all things but dung that he might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, he says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He's going to count all the righteousness of the law, going to count it as nothing and throw it all away. You know, it's hard to get people to give up their righteousness these days. People have a religious spirit about themselves sometimes, and they feel that they're doing pretty well. But you know, it's time for everyone, everywhere. If you have some kind of a religion today that's not the real true thing, it's time to count the thing as nothing. Throw it out. Get rid of it and ask for the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Lord, in your very own heart. Paul was willing to do it, and then God gave him a blessing that we all acknowledge was a wonderful thing in his heart. Let's turn back over here now to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 45th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. This is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Those of us that once you have an understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is, and you put a certain value on that thing, you know that thing is so valuable that you ought to be willing to turn away from everything, give all that you have, and get a hold of this one thing. He says here, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man that's seeking pearls, and he found the pearl, so to speak, that he wanted, the pearl of a lifetime, the one he'd been searching for. No doubt, if you think of one as a jeweler today, you know, what would it take to tell a man, for a man to have a store with lots of jewels in it, and for him to say, "I'll sell them all and get rid of all of them if I could just get my hands on the one thing"? That's the way it is with us in the church of God. You know, we've seen what God has to offer, and we're willing to throw down all that we have. All of your religion, throw it down. Get something from God. Get something real. The real thing is worth paying the price. He says sell all that he had to get that pearl of great price. You know, that's something. Turning over here to St. Matthew, excuse me, it's not the first one. Here's the first. Maybe I can't get it together now. Peter was talking, I believe. He said, "I have left all." We left all. What did it say? Where is that? "We have left all." 22:20. Lord help us. 19th chapter, 27th verse. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You know, here Peter is saying, Lord, we've done turned away from all that we had, all of our belongings, and we are following you. And then he said, what shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, you're going to be raised up to a spiritual condition whereby your life can be an example to others, and it'll be something that other people are judged by, so to speak. It'll be something that'll be an encouragement and a standard for others to go to. That's what I'm going to give you when you sit with me. And then he says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. You know, I say that the Lord pays good. He says we have forsaken all, but if you don't forsake all, you won't get these kind of blessings right here tonight. You'll get something that's far less than that, and that thing will be lingering on your hands year in and year out, as long as you kind of go along and not willing to forsake all. You'll just kind of go along with that same old thing. You'll wonder, where, Lord, are your blessings? Lord, we hear about you healing people. Lord, we hear about you taking care of temporal needs. We hear of you, Lord, helping people with wisdom. We hear about you giving them grace. We hear about you working out your problems. But Lord, me, I'm just going along here, seem like, in a struggle day by day, just barely keeping my head above water. While I come back here and I ask us, how much did you pay for your experience? If that's the kind of experience that you have, well, how much did you pay for that? Did you get it real cheap? Did you get up and boast? Listen, I got salvation, but it didn't cost me very much. Listen, if that's the kind of an experience you have, you're not going to get very much from the Lord. And you're going to find a scene that His way is hard, it's difficult, it's a way of sacrifice. You know, that's why. Is it because you don't have the blessings that follow along with it? He said, my way, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Amen.
My yoke is easy, it's not hard.
Amen.
And my burden is light. This is the reason why real, true saints of God can be happy in their soul. He can rejoice, even though they live a self-sacrificial life. I thank the Lord for that. You know, you can sacrifice for the Lord, so to speak, and don't even feel it. Amen. Amen. If you're feeling it too hard, I wonder if you're not, something's wrong somewhere. If you're feeling it, and Lord, this thing is hurting me, and it's so much difficult, and you want me to pay this price and pay the other price, I believe you need to get something else. I believe the Lord has something that He gives you. Peter was talking about, Lord, we've left all to follow you.
And everyone that has forsaken
houses,
our brethren,
and brethren,
our sisters,
our father, our mother,
our wife, children,
our land,
for my name's sake,
that's what it says.
Receive a hundredfold.
You're going to get so much more in this life right here.
And shall inherit
eternal life.
Amen.
You'll get a hundredfold.
Amen.
You know, you don't have to worry about your relatives that don't want you no more. You know, don't worry about it too much. You get more than that. You get more than that when you're serving the Lord. I say you get into an extended family. It just goes along a long way. It extends out. Thank the Lord for that. You can go in places, just be a stranger and say, well, I'm Brother so-and-so, and I need some help, and I'm here, and traveling through or whatnot, or I just like to stay here a little bit. Mind if you help me out a little bit? And they say, you who? Brother so-and-so? Come right on in. They look at you up and down. Amen. He's one of us. He got the attributes like us. Looks like one of us. He's in my family. Come on in.
Amen.
And they do it gladly.
Yes.
You know, they do it glad. They're glad to help you.
That's right.
You receive more. I say the Lord pays well. That's my experience. My experience, anyway. Got a song to sing, number 76. When first I started to seek the Lord, I'm glad I counted the cost. I fully measured to Jesus' word. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the price. He saved my soul that was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies. I'm glad I counted the cost. You glad you count the cost? Are you glad of that? You know, I'm glad I counted the cost. I laid my sorrows at Jesus' feet. I'm glad I counted the cost. And now I pleasure so pure and clean. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the price. He saved my soul that was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies. I'm glad I counted the cost. You know, he said, I laid my sorrows at Jesus' feet. You didn't see, I laid my pleasures at Jesus' feet. I laid that thing that was most dear to me and I loved it, and I laid it at Jesus' feet. I laid my sorrows at Jesus' feet. You know, you can come here to service, enjoy the Lord. You know, if you pay the price, you're going to get something. That's what this song is talking about. I paid the price, and I obtained the prize. He saved my soul, which was lost. You know, we didn't have anything when we weren't saved. There's no need to think you had something so great over there. You didn't have anything. You laid your sorrows at Jesus' feet. That's what you gave up. I bid farewell to this world of sin. I'm glad I counted the cost. And now my Jesus abides within. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the price. He saved my soul and was lost. And now my treasures are in the skies. I'm glad I counted the cost. Not only that, look at here. I cast on Jesus my every care. I'm glad I counted the cost. And all my burdens He held so bear. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the price. He saved my soul, it was lost. And now my treasures are in the sky. I'm glad I counted the cost. Will not be long till the Lord shall come. I'm glad I counted the cost. And bear my soul to that heavenly home. I'm glad I counted the cost. I paid the price and obtained the price. He saved my soul at the Lord. And now my friend. down. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow, St. Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, this is another thing that a saint of God has to do when he turns away from the things of the world. When God saved you, you need him to save you and leave you, take away all your joy, take away all the things you love. We don't need to think of it like that. We shouldn't think of it like that. And if you're thinking about it like that, I say, don't do that. Don't think about it like that. But we don't think, let's go on. If we're going to turn our hearts to the Lord and we're going to put our hand to the plow, as it were, and begin to plow up the row and go on down and let the Lord sow his seed in our lives, we don't need to be looking back, wondering what's going on back there anymore. You need to lose contact with all of your old friends, all of the things that were going on back there in the world. It needs to come to a place, half day in time, and usually right away, where you don't know what they're all doing out there. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know where they're going. And after a while, you need to get to a place in the Lord where you don't even know what the latest things are going on in the world. It says over here in James, the first chapter in the 8th verse, it says something about a double-minded man being unstable in all of his ways. That man is someone you can't count on. He's a man that's unsure of himself. He doesn't know which way he's going. One time you might find him going one way, another time another way. He's just kind of wishy-washy all the way along. He's unstable. We can't be unstable and serve God and appreciate all the blessings that he has for people. Then over here in St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, I believe it says, about 24th verse, it says you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't be split up, going one way for God, serving God, and then at the next instant just serving yourself and going after the things of the world, the cares of life. You know, the cares of life can rob you from spirituality. I say this because it's one of these slow-motion things the devil plays on people. We see it happening. And it's a serious thing. It's something, no doubt, that causes one that's holding a responsibility of bringing a word to you and bearing a burden of your soul when they look and you're missing prayer meeting, you're missing service here, you're missing service again, and you get all spotty in attendance, and they're saying, Lord, where's so-and-so? Where are they, Lord? Oh, they're busy. Busy. You know, it said one place that one man had a man to keep, and he said, while I was busy here and there, I let him get away. Lord, help us. You can just get busy going after the things of the world. You know, success is really something. Success is really something. You just let a little money start rolling in when you're seeking it, and it starts kind of coming in, and not too much going out. It gets your attention. And then you get to kind of, well, a little more. I'm still saved. Amen. We better keep the Lord in mind. Better keep the Lord in mind, not just thinking about all that's coming in and how you're keeping it and not letting it go out. You better keep the Lord in mind. You know, I think this, that when things begin to go wrong in the job, maybe we need to look back at the Lord. Lord, now I know you can give this thing. But you know, so many people think that, well, there's trouble here on the job, and I guess I'll just have to fly myself more at it. Work at it harder. Work at it longer. And after a while, can't afford to take time off here. Can't afford to take time off, but gotta do it, gotta do it, gotta do it. Oh, little by little. Little by little. He'd be so lean in his soul. He won't have any sensitivity at all. Just kind of a dead, dry formality. Just a little bit at a time. I say these things, this, Lord, help us. Help all of us. We've got to watch the devil. The devil's sweet. And he doesn't just many times come when he found that you're the one that's a saint. they decide to leave the world, so to speak, and he knows they're going to live for the Lord, he doesn't just bowl them over with just temptations and gross sins and get them out like that. He gets them busy doing things that are legal and right and proper. Right and proper and necessary, maybe that he do. But he just kind of gets wrapped up. Little wrapped up. Till after a while, the enemy has him. And he recognizes, I don't have that anymore. Something got out of my soul. May the Lord help us here. All right, let's move along. I want to come back here now to Colossians, the third chapter, fifth verse. Counting the cost. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Let's say that again. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. When you get ready to get saved, you need to think about it. What is this going to mean, this step I'm getting ready to make now? I feel the Lord pulling after my soul. I can hear Him calling. I can sense that He's dealing with my soul. And now, what is it going to mean? You know, I thought, what is it going to mean to make it into heaven? But I realize there's no need of thinking about heaven if we didn't first say, Lord, what is it going to mean to serve You? Oh, I can look at myself, so to speak, and I could think of things that you might say that would have my soul. What is it going to mean? You're going to have to give up that thing that was a part of you that made you hold things against people. Yes. You can hold a grudge for 3 years. Mean to get them back. I intend to get them back. At my earliest opportunity, when I think I can get away with it and nobody know what happens, I'm going to get back. The Lord, you know, when you get saved, you have to count the cost. And you have to be willing to say, Lord, from now on, if they do it to me, I'll take it. Not only that, Lord, if they do it to me again, I'll take it again. And they can keep on doing it, but I'm going to still keep on taking it. And in return, I'm going to give out of what You want me to give out. I'm going to be right by them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to treat them right. I'm going to be able to look them in the eye. I'm not going to have some ugly thing coming up in me. Lord, I got to give up some things. It says here, mortify your members which are upon the earth. This is the reason why so many people will come and want to get saved, and then after they make a start, it seems like they fall down flat. Mortify your members. Count the cost. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Lord, you mean we're going to have to stop lusting? Ladies? Going to have to stop running around? No more girlfriends? Lord, we're going to have to stop touching the ladies? Maybe you're going to have to stop it. Yep. Going to have to be right and pure in your attitude, your disposition, and your motives, the whole thing going to be right. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Uncleanness. Just uncleanness. Unclean things. Unclean in spirit, unhealthy. Down underneath there, you know, I think Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and He said that outwardly they were just as clean, like whited sepulchres, but inward they were just like dead men's bones inside there. Such a stench, such a rottenness inside. Some people are unclean. The Lord needs to deliver people from uncleanness. Get delivered from it. Inordinate affection. That affection has gone wild. Evil concupiscence. Just lustful eyes and all that kind of business. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Then in the 8th verse it says, but now ye also put off all these. Anger. Mad. That means that now I'm living for the Lord. It's no more getting mad at somebody. Getting mad at them.
telling them off. You know? No more, Lord. No more getting mad and telling somebody else. It used to make you feel so good. I got them told. I let them know where they stood. Put off all these wrath, malice, blasphemy, healthy communication. Put it out of your mouth. Amen. This is the church of God. This is salvation that we're talking about. If you're going to get into God's church, this is the minimum requirements. I say before you get saved, you need to stop and think, Lord, what is this going to mean? What is the cause of all these things? In other words, you don't come down and come to the altar and have someone labor and pray with you. And after a period of time, get up. I thank the Lord for being saved. And then you go on back out there. And I didn't know it meant I had to stop throwing. I thought I could kind of keep doing this, but can you pray for me? The Lord give me more grace over there. Maybe you need to come back and ask the Lord to forgive you. Lord, I'm willing to give that thing up to you. Lord. You know, I think how sometimes when an experience has been started and one hasn't counted the cost, you don't need to go along and get someone to help you patch up the thing. You need to go back there to the foundation of it. You need to go right to the back, right back to the bottom of it, level it, and then start off from there and build something that the Lord will be pleased with. Put these things out of your mouth. Filthy communication. And the old man and all of his deeds. We have to count these things from accounting the cost. Lord, what old does it mean to get saved? Make this move before the Lord. Let's go on. Hebrews 6 and 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. It says here, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on. Out of that, I get what I feel is the second point that everyone as a Christian, he needs to get a hold of. That's sanctification. And when you get saved, you need to look forward to the Canaan land. Don't you stop and wander around and just say, well, I've been delivered out of Egypt's bondage, and I'm walking across the wilderness here, and I'm living for the Lord now, and I can see Egypt behind me and so forth, but it's time to make a beeline straight on to that other place. Don't stop, don't wait, don't hesitate, but move right on along toward that thing. You know, I think how there are young people that come up with a question and they wonder, now, Lord, do I have to go on and get sanctified? I say, yes, you do. Can I just be saved? I can see what you're talking about in sanctification, that there is a self-denial there, and I need to give up something. Amen. If you have knowledge, you have to give it up. I suggest you give it up now. Don't wait for sanctification. You need to give it up now. They say, well, do I have to go on? And I want to tell you, yes, you have to go on unto perfection once you're saved. Otherwise, you will not stay saved very long. Before long, the devil will be able to get an advantage of you. Somehow, I don't know how, but he'll get an advantage of you because you were not willing to go on and pay the ultimate price. You know, again, when it comes time to get sanctified, there needs to be a hesitation here long enough to count up the cost all over again, so to speak. You know, when you get saved, you count the cost and you give up everything you know. You turn to God with your whole heart, and many people never get saved, I say that. Never get really saved. But once you get past that, you need to go on unto perfection. That is a place where you're willing to turn away from everything that would hold you back from the service of the Lord. You're willing to give Him your whole life, staying, so to speak, that are you yourself. You have to give Him to that, to the extent where He just comes in and has His way with you. And in other words, you yield up yourself to the extent where you allow Him to have His way with you, and you don't have a say in it. You eliminate your say. Your resistance is all gone. He'll do that for you. He'll make it easy. The Lord will make it easy for Him, for you to live for Him. Really consecrate your life. But if you're dragging along, and then wanting to get sanctified and hold on to something over here, it may be something that, it may not be, quote, a sin, anything wrong with it, but you're dragging along, holding on to it. Lord, help us. Let's go up here into Hebrews, the 5th chapter. You're going to drag along. Drag along, let the enemy hold you back. For when the time you ought to be teachers, 12th verse, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink, because you're holding on to something you need to let go. You know, when a person gets saved, there is a period of time where they should be growing and coming to maturity, going through the trials. They should be gaining an understanding. They should be learning. They should be deepening down spiritually, getting in touch with God. You know, and that's something that I say today is more important than it ever was before, that you get in touch with God for yourself. When you get saved, learn how to pray. When you get saved, learn how to get on your knees and go through your trials, go through your tests, die out whenever it seems like something rises up inside of you. Get concerned about it and work on that thing, and don't be satisfied until you get rid of it. Get victory over it. Amen. For when the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone else still teach you. This is the reason why there's so many unsaved 40-year-old babes hanging around the camp of the saints. Amen. People that have been around that so long, but haven't seemingly been carrying their weight for years. And I don't mean just 1 or 2 years either, 3 years. Some of them a long time. Did they count the cost? Did they count the cost? Did they pay the price? If you pay the price, the Lord will take you right on through that and head you on into Canaan land. He'll give you a blessing in your soul that goes above every other blessing you've ever had in this life. He'll come down in your soul and conquer you, give you victory over you, where before you had no victory over Him. You know, you ask a man to do something against his will, and it's real hard for him to do it. He just said, I don't want to do it. Can you please do it? I can't do it. I can't do that. What are you holding on to? May the Lord help us. You know, you'd be surprised what people are holding on to sometimes. You would honestly be surprised if you could get down in people's lives and wonder why it is that they're not a sound, sober, a saint of God, a mother in Israel, or a father in Israel. They've been saved maybe 20 years or 30 years, and you wonder why it is that they're not one that's a burden bearer. They're not one that can offer sound counsel and teaching and help. You know what happened? What happened? Everybody trying to find easy on me. I don't want to do it. It's against my will. You know, I think of us today. You know, it's a little bit burden. Sister Emmanuel wanted to be in the meeting this year here. She may not make it back. She may not make it back unless a miracle is performed. But she wanted to be in a meeting, and as I understand it, it seemed like she wanted to have a sister's meeting. She wanted to be here. Doesn't look like she's going to make it here. I don't believe she will make it. But where are the others? Amen. Where are the others? Saints, it's time for us to step right up. Begin to pick up the load. You young people, you know, I look out here over this group of people here, and so many of us are dark hairs, you know. No gray hairs. Not too many gray hairs. Lord, there's a burden that's coming down. There's a load that's coming down, a responsibility that's coming down our way. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to play hot potato, so to speak? Ooh, I'll take that. No. I'm not going to sit down in here and try to counsel those people. No, not me. You do it. You do it. Why don't you? Amen. But we're at a place where we need to be stepping in the gap. One is fallen, so to speak. Another is fallen. We see another one falling. See? And what about us? Look at you. What about the next man? Can't you do it? Can't you do it? Can't you do it? Where are you? Amen. This is true. For when the time you ought to be teachers, because you've been holding on to some things, because you haven't made a consecration, because you haven't digged down where you begin to feel the dealings of the Lord on your soul and begin to excise the things that are a part of you and die out to self to the extent where you come to a place where you don't really care what they got to say about you. I can tell you this, you can get into some meetings and you start counseling people about their souls and they won't come out of there smiling at you. That's true. That's true. I find it true. They may not come out smiling. But, amen. The Lord bless you with wisdom. So at least you can say, well, I thank the Lord. Did what the Lord wanted me to do. It's done, and I'll leave it there. I know that the wisdom of the Lord cannot be gainsaid. The Lord can bless us with wisdom, young people. We don't have to be worried about us having wisdom. We can ask the Lord, Lord, give me some wisdom. And He can bless us with wisdom so that we can present the Word of God in such a manner it cannot be gainsaid. They just have to accept it and deal with it. And it may cause a real soberness. And it might even cause a bit of a backlash on those that are not willing to measure up. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. That is a bad attitude. A bad attitude. But these are things that come to the point where they hold people back in the time they ought to be able to give sound, sober counsel. They're not there. They need someone to come along and teach them that they may become established. And they become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, people that have had, seem like, held on to their own ways, they come to a place where you need to deal with them on the most basic level. Oh, they just can't conceive. They can't get a hold of it. More spiritual things. You only can deal with them on just the carnal level. It's a pitiful thing, but it's true. We come in need of having milk and not of strong meat. But strong meat belongeth to them, 14th verse, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, you take the Word of God and you digest it, you deal with it, you love it, you desire more righteousness in your own life, you desire more victories, and as you do that, the Lord will just begin to open up your senses to more. It'll open it up to more, and then you'll be able even to discern greater difference between good and evil. It's something you have to just
digest it and get to dealing with it and work with it. And the Lord will just come in there and increase you in knowledge, increase your understanding, increase your discernment. You know, why is it people can come up and not really have a grasp of spiritual things to the extent where they can detect spirits? Can't even see it. Spirit right in front of their face. Been here 30 years. Spirit right in front of their face. And they don't, I don't see anything wrong with that person there, this or that. That's just the way they view that. You have to accept things. No. What happened to spirits? Discerning of spirits. I believe the Lord gives all of us some discernment. You can hold on to things until they retard your spiritual growth. Just retard your growth to the extent where you're just not what you ought to be for the Lord. Let's turn over here to Romans, the 12th chapter. First verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Getting sanctified. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, pure, already acceptable unto God. That's the only way He's going to accept it. Present it to the Lord, and it's only our reasonable service, not unreasonable. It's only something that's just and fair. It's only, so to speak, what we owe the Lord in return for what He's done for us. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world. Work that you don't let the world bring you into conformance. Work to keep a resistance in your heart all the time. Lord, help me to conform to your will. Help me, Lord, to do what you want me to do. You know, and turn away from that life of ease, that thing that would hold you back. You know, I'm thinking now, let's come on back to where we started here in the beginning. It says that I paid the price and I obtained the prize. He saved my soul that was lost. What is the price that we have to pay? What is it? If we pay the price, I can assure you, you will get the prize. But if you don't pay the price, you won't get the prize, and you'll just kind of go along on lean rations, and it'll get worse as you go along. Yeah. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing. A mind is constantly being renewed, yeah. Strengthened. A mind is constantly being whetted for spiritual things. The appetite being whetted, sharpened. Keen appetite for spiritual things. Don't be conformed to the world. That's the price you need to think about paying.
Yes, and no.
And when I get saved, I think of the price, all that I see, all that I can understand, and I get saved, and I give my heart to the Lord. And then when we get sanctified, we give everything, whether we know it or don't know it.
Right.
All in the future you don't know about. You know, that's one way that you think of sanctification. You don't know really what's in store for you.
That's true.
You just simply don't know. But as you go along, the Lord will reveal it, and your heart will be such that you just say, well, Lord, is this what you're asking? And you say, yes, that's what I didn't know it meant that. I said, yeah, that meant that. I was there when you gave me everything. That was part of it. You say, well, amen, Lord. Yes, too.
Amen.
Rather than drawing back. If you don't count the cost, you're going to come to a place where you draw back.
Yeah.
You say, well, Lord, I didn't mean that. I didn't know it meant this, and I'm not going to do that. May the Lord help us. Are we holding something in reserve? Hold anything in reserve? Can the Lord deal with anything, everything, wherever we need to be dealt with in our life? I say, you know, you may be able to profess Christianity, but if you don't pay the price, you don't have it.
That's
and a profession is not, that's nothing you're going, that's going to be a blessing to you over a long period of time if there's not a position inside. And over a long period of time, you ought to begin to look back and think about it. If you have an unsatisfactory experience with God, you ought to begin to think back. Lord, what is it that makes this experience unsatisfactory that I have? What is it? Am I holding something? Something I desire? Some part of the world? Is there a sacrifice that you wanted that I was unwilling to give up? Is there a hard attitude somewhere other than my heart? Look, look. Like I see, if you started out in the beginning, you go down to the store to buy something, and after you bought it and you go away, if you made a good purchase, in 5 years you'll still be able to look back and say, satisfied with that item.
Amen.
Real good. That worked out real well for me. I'm still very satisfied with it. But if you made one of those cheap deals, 5 years from now, the things ought to be long gone and forgotten about. And you didn't have much pleasant experience about it at all. So may the Lord help us. We can have an experience with the Lord that's a good experience. Just an experience that will hold up over a long period of time.